And something that's precious is something that's dear, something that there's nothing like it. There is nothing that could compare to it. I mean, you think about precious. Amen. That's exactly what Jesus should be to those of us that are saved by that grace. Amen. Well, take your Bibles with me tonight. If you will, we're going to go back. Or so in your Bible, if you're there, into chapter number 18, Psalm number 18, and we're going to talk about a psalm again that's a psalm of David. Am I not on? Okay. Yeah, how about that? I'm on now. All right, a psalm of David in Psalm number 18, and it's something I know we've looked at before. It's a one of the longer psalms. It's got 50 verses. Now, we'll not read it all. Somebody say amen right there. We will read all of it. We'll read a few verses and we'll cover much of it. But it is something, as I say, that I want you to look at. Let's put a little consideration and thought into it tonight, if you will. And if you will, let's read the first 7 or 8 verses in Psalm number 18. Particularly look, if you will. I hope your Bible has this. There are headings or information that's given right before it gets into the first verse in a lot of Bibles. I don't know if yours has it or not, but in Psalm number 18, mine has this as a caption or a heading. It says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, and he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compass me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. And then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. And there went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth. Devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, came down, and the darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for loving us here today. Thank you for the service we enjoyed this morning. I pray now, God, just bless us with a good visit of the Holy Spirit of God tonight. Just move in our hearts and show us some things about you and show us some things about ourselves. Something that we may just be able to look at and just realize what we have in the things of God. And we'll just praise you. We'll thank you. We'll give you honor and glory for all that you do for all of us now. We again love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at this. And if you have been here with us when we did our study in the life of David, this may look a little bit familiar to you. I hope that it does. Because back in the book of 2 Samuel, in chapter number 22, 2 Samuel chapter number 22, David is coming toward the end of his days, the end of his life, and this is basically the same song that you find recorded in chapter number 22 in 2 Samuel. And I'll just go into that just for a few verses. It says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He's my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." And it goes on from there. And it doesn't exactly match word for word the 18th Psalm, but it's the same incident, okay? We'll say that it's the same incident. Again, somewhere along the line, the Holy Ghost laid it on David's heart to write this down and to give this as a song to the singers to sing in the church services, in the worship time. And it was a song, as you see, the gist of it is this. David is taking a look back at his life. I mean, that's basically what he's doing. He's taking a look back at some things that have happened to him down through the years. And that's what I want you to think with me tonight. Let's just title the message is Looking Back on Your Life. Looking back on your life, because that's what David's doing. He's looking back. It says, you know, David has written this song, the words of this song. It said, in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Now, somebody say, why did he make a distinction there? Because he realized, and he always did, he always realized that Saul was the anointed of God. Saul was the king, and Saul was the man that God had anointed to be the king over all Israel. And David, he, you know, if you remember all the stories throughout that, there were so many times that David said when he had an opportunity to kill Saul, he said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. I mean, that was just his thought, and God honored him for that. And I believe that's why he says, God delivered me from all of my enemies and from the hand of Saul. I mean, he was still, even out of the great respect he had for King Saul and for the Lord himself, he was not about to put a bad mouth and a bad word on the king that God had put into place. So David is honoring the Lord. David, but he's taking some time here and he's looking back on his life. And don't we do that a lot of times? I mean, especially the older you get, the more you just kind of take a time out every once in a while and say, you know, let me think back. I mean, you might not write it down. You might not do as David did and put it into song. But sometimes you just sit back and you think about where your life has been. I mean, you think about those things. And I don't care how old you are or how old you get. Sometimes we do. And if you'll notice this in that writing in 2 Samuel, it doesn't tell us that these are the end of the days of David. There is just a point that David has come to where he says, hey, I want to take a look back and just see about some things in my life. Let me just tell you, all of us ought to be there at some point. Take a look back and really just take a look and see what God has done in your life. I mean, just take a look. Man, it's a good thing to sit back and say, hey, boy, I've been here and I can remember when this happened, but hey, I can tell you what God has done for me. Amen. And I want you to notice some things that David says as he begins to talk back on and look back on this situation. First of all, as you notice in these first few verses, we'll just say this. David presents his situation. David presents his situation. Listen to what he says. He says in verse number 1, I will love thee, O God, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I'll trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I'll call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. David is saying this really, first of all, he's saying, just in case I'm not through all of these trials and problems in my life, I'm still going to praise God because I know what he's done before, and I believe he can still do it again. But listen to what he says there in verse number 4. He said, the sorrows of death compassed me. He said, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Amen. I mean, David, as I say, he's looking back. He's looking back at this situation of his life, the scenes that have gone before his face. And you know, you sit there and you think about, well, David's talking about some things that he has faced. David has faced some things. I mean, you notice what he says? He said, man, I faced in verses 4, 5, and 6, the sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. Snares of death, in my distress I called upon the Lord. All of these things that he said, these are things that I have seen. And you know what I can say to them? You know, we say, well, what is it that David is seeing? I believe David saw the same things that many of us see every day. Can you believe that? There are some things that you have gone through in your life, and if you were real honest, you'd be about like David. David said, man, I want to tell y'all. He said, there was the sorrow of death that compassed me. You ever felt like that? I mean, you ever just felt like, man, I was just about at a point to die. Amen. I'm just about at a place where I didn't think I was going to make it. I just felt like death was nipping at my heels in some way. I mean, David faced some things, and he knew there were men out trying to kill him. I mean, sometimes it was Saul. Sometimes it was the army of Israel. Sometimes it was the enemies of the people of Israel. But many times he'd turn around, and he thought, somebody's after me. Can I tell you, somebody's after you too. Somebody's trying to get at your house. Now, it may not be as evident as it was in the life of David, but can I tell you, hey, those things are going on in our lives every day. I'm telling you, there's stuff comes out of that little TV box on your screen at home, and it's there trying to destroy you. It's trying to pull your kids away. It's trying to brainwash your thinking about how to live right, be right, do right, and just keep on going on for God. It's trying to change every bit of that. There are things outside these doors when you go to work, when you go to school, whenever you go out in your community. Hey, there's things out there that are trying to strip you down of your godliness, of your godly stand, your godly life and nature, and it's trying to get you pulled into the hell that this world is all mixed up in. Amen? I mean, you'll feel just about like David did. How did David feel? Well, look what he says. He said, the sorrows of death. What kind of things was he facing? As I said, he's facing the same things me and you're facing. There are sorrows that come at us through this life. He said, the sorrows of death compassed me. Look at verse 5. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. I'm telling you, there are a lot of sorrows in this world. There are things that will break your heart. There are things that will disturb you and your peace and your, as we were talking about this morning, about your contentment. There's stuff in this world, and it will absolutely mess with you. Amen? And it does. It does. David said there were sorrows. But not only did he say there were some sorrows, sorrows, he said there were some snares. Look what he said. The sorrows of hell compassed me in verse 5. He said the snares of death prevented me. And that word prevented is an old English word. We use today the word preceded or was out in front of me. The snares of the devil, as I said earlier, they're out there in front of you. They're out there in front of your kids. They're out there in front of your wives. They're out there in front of your husbands, ladies. I mean, they're out there trying to drag them down, pull them out of a good godly place, trying to get them out of church, trying to get them to turn their back on God, trying to get them to change their mind, trying to get them to say, there's no use. We'll just go along with whatever the world is doing today. Amen. And I'm just telling you, that's what David faced, and that's what you and I face every day that we live. Amen? I was reading this story, I don't know if y'all have ever heard it or not, about a fellow by the name of Charles Weigel. Charles Weigel was part of his life, he lived here in Chattanooga. He was a minister, and he wrote the song. He wrote a song. A lot of you have heard, you may not recognize his name, but the song that he wrote is, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus." And before he wrote that song, he was married, he was preaching, had a daughter, and I don't know what happened. I'm not real sure about all the specifics of it, but one day he went home and his wife said, "This ain't gonna work no more." And she said, I'm divorcing and I'm leaving. And I'm taking our daughter with me. I'm tired of this life. And I'm gone. And he said that his wife went down the train station, took their daughter, and drove away. And that was the end of that part of his life. And he said wherever that was that went on, he was near a river place. And he said he went down and there was a pier. He said he went down and he was just, you know, moping around and brokenhearted and upset over the situation. He went out to the end of the pier and he said it was like he could hear the devil say, go ahead and jump. You don't have anything to live for. Everything in your world has fallen apart. You might as well jump in and just get it over with. And he said he stood there for a while and thought about it. But then finally he said he got himself straightened up. And he said he began to walk back. And he said, leave me alone, Mr. Devil. You're a liar. Amen. Can I tell you, friend, the devil will lie to you. The devil will come to you. If he came to Eve in the garden and lied to her, twisted the word of God, made things seem something they weren't, he'll do the same to me and you. The snare of the devil is out there to get every one of us that he can. And David said, I've faced sorrows, and I've faced snares, and I have faced, well, the stresses. Look what he said, verse number 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. What does that mean? That means he was stressed by the things of this world. Now, don't let anybody kid you. I was reading something here the other day, and it said the biggest lie that most of us tell is when somebody asks us how we're doing, and we say, I'm fine. Amen? Right? Because sometimes we're not fine. Sometimes you're not in a good place. You're not well. Maybe physically everything's okay, but in your head, in your heart, in your job, at your home, with your family, whatever it is, hey, there's some stresses that come on our everyday lives. And David said, I was in my distress. I was in a place of stress. You ever been to a place where you're pushed and pulled and you just twisted and you don't know what to do? Amen. David said, I was there. I'm just telling you, David, first of all, he just kind of lays this out for us. He presents us with his situations. The situations that had happened to him throughout his life. You know what? He never really gets specific and said, this happened this day and this happened. Because can I tell you something? It don't just happen on a day. It happens a lot of days. And you may have a shout out, hallelujah kind of time here today, and tomorrow you may be looking at the snare, you may be feeling the sorrows, you may be feeling the stress. You just don't know what a day will bring, amen. None of us do. None of us know. But I'm just telling you, David faced the same kind of problems, the same kind of situations that all of us certainly face. And sometimes there was victories, but a lot of times there were stresses and strains and problems in his life, just like there is in mine and yours. Amen? So first of all, David says, looking back on my life, I can see some times when I just really didn't know what in the world I was going to do. I was facing all of these things. Can you identify with that? Can you say, hey, man, preacher, I've been there and done that? I mean, can't we all just say, hey, man, that's happened to me too? Sure it has. Probably everybody in this room. You got that phone call that you didn't expect to get. You got that message. You got that note in the mail. You got that family member come up to you and said, boy, we got some bad news. I mean, you got those things happen. And sometimes you said, I didn't see that. Can I tell you, the devil laughs when you and I get into those situations. But thank God there's an answer for it, amen. There is an answer for it. So David, as I said, first of all, presents his situation. But second of all, I want you to know that David paints us a picture of his Savior. David said, yeah, y'all, I'm in this. This is my life. These are things that have happened in my life. But look what he says in verse number 6 again. He talks about his stresses. In my distress, listen, I called upon the Lord. And I cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Well, aren't you glad God still hears and answers prayer? Amen? I mean, you know, David, it's like me and you. You may have all of those things happening in your life, but what kind of plan of action are you going to get into to take care of those things? You know what, a lot of people throw my hands up, I just quit. I give up. I'm through. I can't do it. I don't know what to do. Listen, I know there's many times some of us have gotten there. I mean, you just feel like you're at the very end of your rope and you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. You're just frazzled. Your brain is scrambled. I mean, you're just like, wow, here I am. I don't know what to do. Amen. Could you imagine? And I don't know. Any of you ever been there? You go home and your spouse said, honey, I'm through. I'm quit. I give up. I'm leaving. Goodbye. And, you know, I'm gone. Wow, what do you do? Well, I'll tell you what most of us do. We break down for a while. I mean, you go in and your employer says, well, we don't need you anymore. We're laying you off or firing you or we're getting rid of you. And we just don't need you anymore. And you're just stunned. What am I going to do now? Oh, no, I've lost my job. And there's my payments I got to make and my house and my food and my family and all those that depend upon. Oh, what are we going to do? Amen. Or you go to the doctor and they say, well, we got bad news. Bad news is you've got cancer. You've got some incurable disease. You've got something. And there's really nothing we know what to do with you. Man, how does that grab you? I mean, you got to come up with some kind of plan of action. You got to come up with something. You know what David did? David said, when all this is going on to me in my distress, I called upon the Lord and I cried unto my God. I didn't know what else to do, where else to go, anybody else to turn to. I cried out to God. I just didn't know what to do. I'm at a point, I'm at a place, I'm in a predicament here where I don't know what to do. Amen? But aren't you glad? Oh, listen, when he found himself turning to God, he said, look, I ain't got no other choice. I got nowhere else to turn. I got nothing else I can do. I've got nothing. What does David say here about turning? Well, listen, notice this. He says, I'm going to turn to God and ask him to be my protector. Look here in verse number 1. He said, I will love thee, O God. Listen, he begins to describe him a little bit. He said, O God, O Lord, my strength. The Lord, he said, is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Amen. He said, buddy, when you got somebody like that, think of what he can do for you. He said, that's what he is to me. That's who I've got to go to. I don't have anybody else to turn to. You know, David, when you think about it, he was in a mess even with his wives. Some of them he had offended. Some of them he had married that were foreign, and they probably had served foreign gods, and some of them were just problems to him, and some of them, you know, he messed around and killed Uriah, and Bathsheba was his wife. I mean, he just had all kinds of baggage in the back part. I mean, he couldn't turn to them. His counselors had told him what kind of man he was. Nathan the prophet pointed that long bony finger and said, David, you've sinned, and God said you better get it. I mean, he's like, hey, I got some folks that'll tell me the truth, but I don't know who to turn to anymore. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cry out and call on God. As I said today, let me tell you, he has never left you. He has never let you down. He has never not been there. Woo! Aren't y'all glad of that? God said, I'll go with you all the way. It don't matter where you're going, I'm going with you. Amen. Amen. Hey, do you know that's what Abraham, Abraham said he heard God speak to him. God said, just go to a place that I'll show thee of. You know what he did? He just went. Go over in the book of Hebrews in that 11th chapter, and you begin to see those great heroes of faith. And it said, by faith, Abraham went. Amen? I'm telling you, Noah worked. I'm telling you, Noah worked on building an ark. I'm telling you, Enoch walked with God. Hey, all of them did it. They didn't see God. They heard from God, but they didn't know how it's going to turn out necessarily. But thank God, hey, he was there with them every step of the way. Amen? What I'm telling you is, boy, sometimes this thing is certainly just a walk of faith. But you've got to realize you've got a friend in the Lord that will protect you. Look here in verse number 6. He said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, cried unto my God. Listen, he heard my voice out of this temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Now, can I tell you this? God's a pretty busy guy. Amen. Y'all believe that? Y'all believe that? God's a busy guy. He's got a lot of stuff going on. But David said, can I tell y'all, when I was in a stressful situation, when I was up against it, he heard my cry. Even though he's in the greatness of the holy temple of heaven, he heard this poor man's cry. Can I tell you, God's still listening for me and you tonight? When we don't know where to turn, who to turn to, or who's going to help or do what, you've got somebody that's ready to hear your cry. Amen. God said, I'm listening. I'm listening. If you can just imagine this, you just imagine this. God is, as I say, he's busy, right? God's taking care of everything there is to take care of, but then all of a sudden me or you or anybody that's one of his little sheep began to cry out and say, God, I got, you know what he does? He says, everything, hold on. One of my kids is needing me, and I'm headed right down there to help him. Amen. Woo, aren't you glad you've got that kind of God? He said, he heard me. He heard my cry. He was there. He heard my voice out of the temple, and my cry came to him. Even went into his ears. He heard everything that I had to say. Woo, I'm telling you. He's a protective friend. He protects those that are his. But not only that, David spends several verses, and that's verses 7, 8, 9, 10, on down through verse 14. David spends those verses telling us what he found about God as a friend, that he was a powerful friend. Listen to just a little bit of it. He said, he heard my cry in verse 6, came into his ears. But listen to what he said in verse 7. He said, God heard me and something happened. Then, he said, the earth shook and trembled. Can you believe that? David said, I was in a mess. I was in a horrible place. I was needing help. And God heard me up there in his holy temple. He said, and when he began to move, he said, the earth shook and trembled. The foundation also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. God was angry that somebody was picking on one of his little sheep. And he said, let me go take care of this. I mean, isn't that, boy, that's a blessing right there when you can think about how that God begins to move when one of us cry from a broken heart, a sorrowful spirit, from all of the sadness and wickedness in this world. Amen. He said, there went up smoke, verse number 8, there went up smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. Woo, can you imagine that? God began to stretch out from heaven, and he brought part of heaven down here to earth because he heard one of his little ones was in trouble and needed him. They needed a powerful God. He said he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them and shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Woo, what about that? He said, I want y'all to know there's somebody very powerful that's on my side. I mean, look, boy, when you can realize that at the disposal of every little child of God on the face of this earth, they fall to their knees, they begin to pray and look up, and the tears stream, and the hearts are broken, and the spirit is wounded, and God says, wait a minute, honey, I'm on my way, I'm coming right there where you're at, you're not alone, I won't leave you, I'm going to take care of you, amen. Woo, ain't that a blessing? When you think about that, I mean, David said he is a powerful friend. I mean, this goes on. He said, verse 15, the channels of waters were seen. The foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke. He's just telling you how strong God is. Oh, Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostril, he sent from above and he took me and he drew me out of many waters. I was in a mess. Waters was over my head. God said, here, let me help you. And he reaches down. And he pulled him out of all that distress. Amen? I'm just telling you, that's the kind of God that we serve. He said, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. You're going to fight some things sometimes. They're just too strong for you. You're going to run up on something. And it's going to be too much for you to handle. You know how we are. All of us is flesh. Well, I'll just fix it. I'll figure it out. I'll straighten it. I'll take care of it. Sometimes you get there where you can't. You get there where you just can't do it. Amen? You ever been there where you couldn't do it? Daddy couldn't do it. Mama couldn't do it. Grandpa and grandma. They couldn't nobody take care of it. But God said, wait a minute. I think I'm still on the throne. Amen. I'm still in charge, y'all. I can take care, and I'll see you through it. Praise God. Aren't you glad you got him? When you've got a God like that, I don't know what's coming your way. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you're getting ready to go through. But can I tell you, you've got a God that'll meet you right there. Amen. You remember the story of Sennacherib, the great general that was coming up against the children of Israel over in the Old Testament. And he told the king of Israel, Hezekiah. He said, he sent a letter to the people. He said, y'all just might as well give up, because we're going to come in and we're going to slaughter every one of y'all unless you do give up. And he had written letters. And the people were worried. They fortified themselves. They stuck themselves inside of their walled city. They locked the gates. They did everything. They said, oh, we're in trouble. Sennacherib had a great army. I mean, there was a lot of warriors on his side. They'd been mowing people down over here, over there. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. And he said, you guys are next. He said, I'll make a deal with you. Y'all give me your king. I'll take him out. And we'll let you live as our slaves. He said, but you only got so much time to decide. You know what happened? They took those letters to King Hezekiah. And Hezekiah said, oh no, what are we going to do? He said, I know what I'll do. He went down at the house of God. He had those letters and he laid them out on the altar before God. And he said, God, I want you to take a look at what the enemy has said to us. And I want you to know, we don't want to bow. We don't want to give it. We don't plan. We're your children. What are you going to do, God? Brother Hezekiah got down and he prayed and he begged God, he pleaded, he showed him the letters. He said, this is the wicked men. These are those that hate us. These are those that are good. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? God said, just hang on, honey. I'll take care of it. Amen. Ooh, aren't you glad that God swept through and destroyed their enemies, and the people of Israel didn't even have to lift a sword? God said, I can take care of any little old crowd that wants to come against one of mine. Can I tell you, sometime when you're at the house and you say, hey, honey, I don't know how we're going to face these bills. I don't know how we're going to face this problem. I don't know what we're going to do. You better just take your stuff out, lay it down before God, pray and plead and call for the blood and expect God to show up and do something for you. Amen. Because can I tell you, he will. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the king said, Nebuchadnezzar, he said, boys, y'all better bow down to my image. You better fall down. He said, if you don't, I'm throwing you in the fiery furnace. And them fellas looked at him and they said, king, we are not careful. In other words, we're not going to really worry about answering you. We're just going to tell you what we think. And what we think is this. We don't know if God will deliver us from your hand or not, as far as that fiery furnace. If he does, he does. And if he don't, he don't. Either way, we're not bowing to you. If he takes us out, we burn up that fire, we hadn't bowed to you. If he sees us through, we're not bowing to you. And it made the king mad. He said, heat that thing up, boys. Heat her up 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated before. They opened the doors of that fiery furnace. The Bible said the flames consumed those men that threw these three into the midst of the flames. And old King Nebuchadnezzar sat back and he said, well, let's see what I done. Open my little viewing portal. They opened it up. He looked in there. Looked around and he said, hey, didn't we throw 3 guys in there? 3 men, O king. He said, I see 4. He said, and that 4th guy, he said, I can see them 3. And they're all tied up. They're all bound. And that's the ones we throw. He said, but there's a 4th guy. He's loose in the fire. He said, he looks like the Son of God. Woo! And I'm telling you, he said, y'all better go let them out of the fire. They brought, you know, when they got them out, there's only 3 come out. Amen. Somebody said, where'd the Lord go? Oh, he's still there in the fire, honey. You need him. He'll be right there in the fire with you. Amen. But they brought them 3 men out. And when they did, the Bible says this as a stated fact, there was no smell of smoke on their clothes. Can you believe that? I get around a campfire, and I go in, and Lynn say, well, you smell like you've been thrown in the middle of the fire, amen, fire pit, rolled in it or something. You know what? They didn't smell like it. There was not a hair on their head or on their eyebrows or their beards or mustache. They wasn't a hair singed. How did that happen? I'm telling you, God showed up right in the middle of the fire. What I'm saying is he'll show up for you right in the middle of your fiery trial. Amen. He'll be right there to be what you need him to be in that day. David said, that's the kind of powerful God that I have. Aren't you glad you got that same powerful God today? Now, I want to tell you, sometimes we don't act like it, but we got the same powerful God that they had in that day. All right, look at one last thing, if you will. David talks about the Lord, and again, through those verses, on through verses 19 and 20, he talks about him being somebody that provided some things for me. He said, he brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Woo! Isn't that good? God delights in you. That's great. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. He says, for I've kept the ways of the Lord. In the last several verses of this psalm, David praises the Lord for the help that he's given him. He begins to praise God and talks about how he's going to praise him because of who he is. Look on down there about verse number 30. He said, as for God, listen, he said, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? He said, they ain't nobody like him. And because of that, can I just take a time out and praise him for a while? Amen. I mean, you and I ought to take some time and realize that it is our blessed privilege. I mean, it is, you know, boy, we ought to just praise God because of all the help that he has given to us. God's been there for, he's provided for you. He has met your need. I'll guarantee you today, hey, there ain't nobody in this room went hungry today. Can I tell you, praise the Lord for meeting your need. You say, preacher, all I had is a bologna sandwich, brother. Alvin talking about bologna. Hey, can I tell you, praise God for a bologna sandwich. Amen? Hey, let me just tell you, God provided every bit of that for me and for you. Amen? Hey, we serve a good God. We serve a good God. David said, well, I'm just going to praise him. I'm just going to praise him because, look, he let me survive all this mess that's going on in my life. I've had attacks. I've had sorrow. I've had broken heart. I've had everything you can think of in this life. He said, you know how I got through it? You see what he said right there in verse 31? For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? He said, let me tell y'all how I got through it. I got through it because of who he is. Because of who he is, what he has done for me in time past. And he said, look, let me just praise God for what he is going to do in the future. If you go on through this, he talks about some of the things that God has done, and you can read all that you want to. But look what he says in verse number 36. He said, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me, and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. He said, therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Listen to what he says. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David. Listen. And to his seed forevermore. God, you've done some stuff. You're doing some stuff right now. And you're gonna do some stuff in the future. David didn't know exactly when Jesus would sit on the throne. But God told him he would, that there'd be a king. That throne would ever be with the people of Israel. It'd be his forever. He said, you know what? I believe that. And I believe God can. I've seen him take care of it. I see that he's currently taking care of it. And that means he's going to be able to take care of it in the future. Can I tell you, you and I ought to just be praising God for all of those things. Amen? Praise God. Because he's worthy. David says it several times in this psalm. He is worthy of our praise. Because of who he is. Because of what power that he has. And because of what he's done for us. You hear what he says there in that very first verse? I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I'm just going to love the Lord because he's the strength of my life. Amen? Again, Paul said it this way, Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, Paul talked about in the book of Corinthians how that he had a thorn in his flesh. He said, but can I tell you what? I asked God to remove it. God said, huh? Can I tell you? God will tell you thorns are good for me and you. Paul said, because when I'm weak, then am I strong. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul said, I'll therefore glory in my infirmities because when I'm weak, when me trying to do it is weak, then God can show up through me and he can do some things I can't even dream of sometimes. But I know that he can. Amen? This is the same Paul that said over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse 20, "Now unto him that is exceedingly, abundantly able to do all, above all, that we ask or think." He said, "Unto him be praise and glory in the church." Amen? Boy, the church ought to be shouting the roof off because of who God is and what he's done. Amen? Aren't you glad he's your God tonight? He's just your God, but he's a good God. Amen? He is a God. When you look back on your life, can you look back at some of those rough spots, those hard times, and you can say, "You know what? God showed up in them times. I didn't know what I was going to do. Didn't know how I was going to make it through it. But he showed up right in the middle of every one of those hard times." Amen? Paul said, "Boy, there was a lot of times I was beaten with rods. I was stoned. I was left out in the hot and in the cold. I was in the perils of the sea." He said, "But can I tell you, through all of those times, God was with me." Amen? He'll be with you too. He'll be with you. He'll be with me. He'll be with us. Oh, but can I tell you, you just need to get yourself strengthened up in him. In him. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready and sing a verse of a song. Maybe if you're here and you don't know, ain't no way that you can figure out what's going on in your life right now. Preacher, you don't know what I'm facing. I don't know what you're facing. I probably don't. And I probably sometimes can't understand what some people are facing. But can I tell you, God said, "I know. And I'm here and I'm able to help you in every instance that comes in your life." Let's stand, if you would, tonight. What are we going to sing, Brother Ronnie?
141.
Listen, you need to come pray. Be a good time. I don't know what's going on with you, but God does. Come on now. Try me. Oh, God.